You're listening to DraftKings Network.
We are live. The Knicks-Nets game just ended. Not the way you want to see a battle of these, the battle of the boroughs end on a James Johnson free throw instead of like a KD or Julius Randle, James Harden ISO to end the game. But yeah, I mean, you don't like to see a foul call, like a controversial foul call, end that one. And Julius Randle had an earful for the referees after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say, first of all, that Durant made the right play. He got double teamed 35 feet from the basket. You pass the ball to the open man. And James Johnson, at that point, you could say his mission is to drive and draw attention and then make a play. Someone else who's wide open as a result of that attention. He didn't. He went up. And look, by the letter of the law, did he get slapped with some contact? Yeah.
It was a foul. It was definitely a foul.
It was a foul, but like, you know, there are a lot of refs that I would say, in the game situation, particularly this season, the way they've been calling it, in the game situation, and James Johnson, relative nobody in the pantheon. I'm just saying, NBA stars who get star calls, he's not one of them.
And I so dare you, Amin El Hassan, to say that to James Johnson's face.
To his face?
A pseudo nobody? What did you call him? Mr. Bloodsport himself, a black belt.
Okay, yeah. None of them things have anything to do with basketball, though. Like, can he kick my ass? Absolutely. Can he kick my ass in a way that's way more creative, inventive, innovative, and destructive than any other NBA player? Absolutely. Does that make him a better basketball player at this point? No, it doesn't.
Say it to his face, man. Coward?
Yeah, I'm absolutely a coward. Do I want to get my ass kicked? No. Why? Hold on. Why is that as I said last night, a religious epiphanosity?
Oh, and you wouldn't even get with the Jokic brothers last night. I think you're just afraid. You're all talk, Amin. You're a big talker. What is it? What is it? Udonis has him called Paul Pierce, a studio gang.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's you.
Yeah. Look. There's a difference between me,
studio gangster, my man.
There's a difference between me saying something that's like strong, like advocative, like basketball analysis, and me not wanting to die. Like there's a middle ground there. I don't want to die. Like, here's the thing. Like, let me put it this way. LeBron can kick my ass. But you know what? I think I'd take that ass kick. James Johnson can kill me. I don't want to die. I'm sorry. I don't want. He could and would. And I don't want to die.
Do you think his free throws that he took tonight lasted longer than how long it would take for him to kill you?
What would last long? Yes. The free throws, definitely. Both free throws? Two of them, you're saying?
Just one. Just one.
Just one free throw.
Yeah. Jerry Farrar, Turtle. Oh, man. Vermont.
Jerry.
Joined us. We're wondering. First of all, sorry about your Knicks. It was a bad way to end that game. I feel really bad for you. We just have to ask the question. James Johnson, who is a black belt, I don't know if you know this. James Johnson is a black belt. He can kick, like when two balls get stuck in the basket, in the net, he can roundhouse kick them down like he used to do that in practice.
Okay.
He is incredibly athletic and also can kill you very quickly with his bare hands. Do you think he could kill Amin El Hassan sooner than it takes him to take a free throw? Like, they walk into a room and Amin is dead in how long? How long does it take?
I think like 6 seconds. So I think it's kind of close. Oh, man. Well, it's good to see you guys. I don't like being up this late for a loss. It just hurts.
Hold on.
That was a brutal loss. They came back.
Is it?
They didn't score. They didn't. Oh, yeah.
Hold on. No. Hold on. Jerry, what's more brutal? the Nets go on like a 15 zip run or whatever it was at the beginning of the second half, and then it's just a blowout for the second half, or the Knicks fight, get back into it, and we're into a one possession game at the end. What's more brutal of a loss?
The one possession game is a brutal loss. This is an emotional roller coaster. I hate these games because there's moments where you're like, oh wow, okay, we don't look so bad. This is going to be a game. Then the Nets go on that run, like Amin mentioned. It's like, you know what? We suck. This is over. This is terrible. Get blown out so I can go to bed. Then they creep back in and you know, cut it down and take the lead, and then only to lose in like, God, I mean, that foul, Robinson. Why do you reach? Why does he reach on, like,
for James
Johnson? I would just let him go up.
Yeah, like stay upright, make him shoot over you. He's James Johnson. He's catching it.
Get out of the way and let him shoot it. Yeah, maybe. You can make that argument.
Go big. Go big.
What would you guys rather do? Would you rather reach in or get out of the way if you had to choose two?
If those are only two options?
Yes.
I wouldn't go Matador. I would take my chances with a reach.
I go Matador. A reach, a blind reach, like the rest of it, nothing but that.
But here's the thing, Jerry. It's like, are they going to call it for James Johnson? That's the point we were talking about right before you came in.
They did.
And I said, I mean, they ended up doing it, but I think like the gamble is I'm going to try and strip because there's no chance they're going to give James Johnson at the crucial game deciding juncture. They're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think most refs are like, James Johnson lost the ball.
So I say this with all due respect because I do not want Mr. Johnson to.
That means you have no respect.
I have lots of respect. I don't want to get hurt out here at all. By the way, when you are that level of a black belt, like he knows he wouldn't do nothing to me because he knows it's like illegal. Like it's like nothing. I'm a nothing. He's been trained in the art of like, I don't even mess with dudes like that. But I predict that if we do the Matador defense, Johnson goes up and then does the, oh, wow, I'm open, double clutch pass out. Because he's just not in that situation a lot.
He's not even trying. Like, it doesn't even occur to him that, like, this is a layup for you.
Just not a reach. Come on, Mitch Rob. Not a reach. Anyway.
What's Jerry Ferrara's policy on going to Brooklyn games versus Madison Square Garden?
I really try not like you mean if they're playing the Knicks or just like go to a Brooklyn game against anyone?
Just the Knicks. Like, are you just like, I don't even like consider the Brooklyn Nets as like a team in New York City. I will not go there even if my Knicks are playing.
I would go watch them play the Knicks, but probably no one. And maybe I go watch, you know, if like Curry came into town or whatever, but like I'm rarely going in to Barclays to watch a Nets game. This isn't even like I hate the Nets. They're not really for like, I don't know. Like I just like, I'd rather stay home and watch the Knicks game than go to a Nets game at this point.
Wow. That's pretty bold. Like, cause Jerry, you're from Brooklyn, right?
But like that means nothing. In this conversation, nothing. It means absolutely.
Wait, hold on.
Nothing.
Your mom still lives in Brooklyn, right?
Yes, and it means nothing to her either.
See, this is the whole wrong with the whole Brooklyn Nets thing.
My mom's a big Yankee fan, right? If the Yankees left town and went somewhere else, and then put it this way: if you're a Brooklyn, here's a great question: if you like the Brooklyn Dodgers back in the day. And they move out to LA. Are you just not a baseball fan anymore? Or do you follow them to LA? Because I do. Yes, I'm a Knicks fan, but I also now fallen in love with the franchise. Like I'm hooked. If the Knicks go to Seattle tomorrow, I'm probably still rooting for them at this point. I ain't
really?
Wow.
Over the Nets. Over the Nets for sure.
If James Dolan sells to a Seattle conglomerate, you are still rooting for the Seattle Knicks.
What? Over the Nets, yes. Or honestly, the Cavs might be the next option after that. But I would sooner root for the Seattle Knickerbockers than the Brooklyn Nets.
That's pretty controversial of an opinion right there.
Really?
I don't think anyone's married to the Knicks wherever they go. I think the majority of Knick fandom, loyalty or xenophobia or whatever you want to call it, is built on the fact that, like, it's New York's team. The fact that you're rejecting the Nets has little – it's little to do with that they're, like, they're from Brooklyn or New Jersey or Long Island or whatever, and more to do with, yeah, you're just married to the New York part of this. If the Knicks went to Seattle, Jerry, you wouldn't care.
Yes, I would. I would stick around and I would root for them until the new expansion team came into New York. Then I'd wait for the clean, fresh, the fresh start, and then I'd go all in on the fresh start. But I'm
until
never
the New York Nationals or the New York.
I'm never rooting for the Brooklyn Nets ever in this lifetime.
Okay. I trust you on this because you once said that Kevin Durant was your favorite player in the NBA. Non-Knicks player, favorite player in the NBA. He goes to the rival Brooklyn Nets, and you still won't acknowledge the Nets as like a possible team for you.
I mean, I acknowledge them as a great team with great players. Yeah, but I don't go for the front runner. I'm not like that. I'm like the only Knicks fan that's like, let's not, I don't want any trades. I want to win.
You're not the only one. That's the weird part, Jerry. You're not the only one.
I want to win with this team.
Jerry, I'm in a group chat with like all of these crazy Knicks fans.
And I'm not in this? Wow.
Do you want to be part of this? This is
probably not. I got my own group chats to worry about.
Jerry, today alone, because we knew Knicks versus Nets, because we have a couple of Nets fans in there, 600 unread messages. I'm looking at my WhatsApp right now. It's not worth it. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody. It's torture.
No, I can't do that. But look, I still love watching KD. I love watching him tonight. I get a pit in my stomach when he touches the ball on the elbow, ISO. It's like a guaranteed bucket. So I love watching it, but I can't root for. I just can't do it.
So tell me about the
Knicks. I hated
them.
I hated all those Jason Kidd years and all that. Like, I'm just gonna be like, oh, I love that franchise. I'm out.
Like, tell me about your Knicks this year. Like, where are you at? Kemba Walker dropped from the rotation. He's Bronx guy, went to Rice. Felt like a heartwarming story. Where are you at on the Knicks season so far?
Well, it's funny. Well, so you know I'm talking to Amin, so that means I'm definitely not as confident. And like last year when we got hot, Amin would hit me up like, let's talk. Let's get. I'm like, never. No.
Never. He refused. Like straight up. Like I would say, no. Hey, Knicks are doing great. Come on the show on Sunday. No. Because he was worried that the moment he felt that optimism, that it would just all turn on him and the Knicks would go on like a 20-game losing streak. So literally we got zero Jay Farrar for the entire year.
Yeah, and you got me now because it's funny, right? Like last year, by all counts, is an extremely successful year by Knicks standards, even with the Atlanta debacle. And now all of a sudden it's like, 11-10 or what are we, 11-11, something like that. And now we're 10, like, 11, wow, big concerns in New York. It's like, I'm not concerned. This is all gravy. We're so far ahead of the clock from where it started ticking before last year. So I don't know if this team is a top six seed. I do think it might be a play-in situation because the East got so much better. The East got so much better. So particularly through 10 got a lot better.
That was my thing. It was like, it's not so much like about like were the Knicks a fluke, and it was way more about the East is so much tougher right now, and there's and particularly like legitimate tough, not just like hey, there are a lot of teams that are competitive. It's like Nets, Bucks, Heat, Sixers when they get their act together, and now it looks like the Bulls are in that conversation.
Bulls and Wizards, Hawks,
The Hawks will be there at the end. The Wizards weren't there last year. They're there. So, it's a whole – the Kemba thing, it sucks because, like, God, you want that to work. You really do. Like, for so many – besides just being a Knicks fan and, like, you could see the fit. Like, we need a ball-handling scoring guard, and it just – also, great dude. Like, you just would love it to all work. And I don't know. I don't know what you guys are hearing. Is it over? Is it, like, is there a trade-off? Like, is it – what's his value? Is it gone or see him again?
So I think the good news is that he's got incredible value. He only makes 9 and some change this year and 9 and a little bit more change, maybe 10 next season. So he's got a contract that's very reasonable in the 2-year window. He's good. He's good at getting buckets. And, I think that's attractive. The problem is, the number of teams that need help at point guard are very limited. I think it's like down to like maybe four teams. And Tommy can correct me on this. Like, it's like the Grizzlies because Ja Morant's out.
Right.
The Sixers might be in that conversation. Sixers. Yep.
I could see that fit.
It's just so hard, Jerry. Jerry, you're not 7 feet tall. Okay. We gotta acknowledge that. It's hard for people like us. Hard for people like us who are 6 feet and under to survive past 30 years old in the NBA. Like the list of people like Kemba Walker, score first point guards, undersized point guards. It's not a long list of people who make it impactful into their mid-30s. And that's where Kemba Walker is entering right now. If you lose that first step, and he's had knee issues the last few years, ever since he left Charlotte, if you lose that first step, like he can't bring another thing to the table. He's not a great distributor. He's not a great defender. So for those who are acquiring Kemba, it's going to have to be in that Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford off the bench type role.
Right.
Yeah. And he had some other things working against him. Tibbs already doesn't want to play this many guys. We know this. The roster's already way too long for him. You got the rookies kind of scratching at the door as well. And then the defensive point, like the Knicks did last year was not a fluke. But the one thing that was fluky is almost every team had their worst three-point shooting night against the Knicks last year. They were missing open threes. And the defense was good.
Top five. It was great. It was top five.
But a lot of those threes that were not going in last year are going in, and they're the very similar looks. So, and I watch every minute of every game. So
two things went right for the Knicks last year. Two things. And maybe it's luck. Maybe it was something that was sustainable. But the two biggest questions coming into this year was Julius Randle, three-point shooting fluke? Or is he legit good three-point shooter? Because that opens up so much in the Knicks offense. His three-point shooting has collapsed this season back to his career norms. Last year, it does seem like that was a fluke season. The second thing, like you said, defense top four in the NBA last year, a lot of it because of that kind of fluky opponent three-point shooting percentage that anchored that defense last year. And two of those things, Julius Randle's hot shooting and the opposing team's cold shooting not working in their favor this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I look at the team. Like Atlanta kind of showed that right last year because they started hitting all those threes that a lot of the teams were missing, and then it was basically everything you just said went wrong. But the other thing is, you know, when the Knicks are hitting threes, as we saw when they went on that run, Fournier started hitting, Burke started hitting. I know this is like an easy thing to say, but when they're not hitting, they don't have that other dimension to win where a lot of other teams that will be in the playoffs do, whether it's defense, whether it's time or just like execution down the stretch. Like that game tonight was won by the Nets, just executed a little bit better with a minute left. And
James Harden looks so good, man.
Yeah. The dunk. I didn't realize he was still trying to get up that high again. That putback dunk was like, whoa, I didn't know I was shocked, but he looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked awesome. Last 10 games, he's had five double-digit free throws in his first 12 games this season. He only had one game where he got to the free throw line double-digit. He is back to being the James Harden of old. He's not going to drop 40 every night like he did in Houston, guys. But the idea of him figuring out the referee thing and getting those foul calls. There were a couple of iffy foul calls tonight, and one of the referees, it was his first game of the season. And a couple of the calls, it was kind of like, hey, you know what we're doing this year, right?
Not calling this year.
Yeah.
Let me ask this question, Jerry, because last week the Nets had a particularly awful game and the home crowd booed James Harden. And there's a part of this where I think to myself, Brooklyn, you don't get the right to boo anybody, right? Like you haven't had a standard of excellence long enough to look at someone like James Harden and say, you're not excellent enough on this given night.
Listen, they have a lot of things to be excited about over there at Barclays Center for sure. Even with all the injuries and players not playing, that roster is still really, really good, obviously, and they got Durant and Harden. But where do you get the guts, I'll keep my language clean here, to
you don't have to do that here,
James Harden for a bad game? Like, What are we talking? And that's inherently part of it. Like, I've been through this with all Nets fans. We're in your head. You talk about the Nets more than Knicks. No, I don't. But like, it is a foolish conversation. Did you hear the crowd tonight? And I know it doesn't matter. The Nets won. Oh. That's the response. I get it. But like, come on, man. They're giving away playoff tickets last year. Giving them away.
Quickly scoring. I was like, where is this game? It threw me off. And by the way, this allows me to complain about something else. Nike, I get it. You're so innovative in different colorways and all that. Just let the fucking home teams wear white.
I know, yeah.
Let's stop with this shit where the road team wears like white and the home team wears crazy colors. You have 41 games to get your crazy colors out there. Do it there. Make sure we have white at home. Or at the very least, if you're going to wear colors at home, let the other team wear colors as well, as long as they're not the same color. But this thing where like I'm watching the road team wear white, I am so irritates me so much because I kept going through this where I'm like, wait, what just happened? Who scored there? And especially when you're talking about Knicks versus Nets, where the Nets are
in a weird uniform too, and the court is not their typical. Well,
it's not even the court, Tom. I'm telling you, I don't have a visual cue, and I don't have an audible cue, because Quickly is going up for a layup, making it. And the crowd goes nuts, and I'm like, wait, who?
Help the case for the strong home court advantage that they have when they're not wearing white and they're cheering for the other team. Yeah. I do like the Derek Coleman, Kenny Anderson Nets logo. That's what it is, right? That's the logo. That's the year we're talking. The Drazen. Great call. Should have did it sooner, in my opinion. Should have went to it sooner.
Why not?
But yeah, other than that, you know, I'm sure they got good food at Barclays Center. I'm sure, like, you know, I've been there for some WWE stuff.
Jerry, food. Wear them in food, white. You know, you like those logos? You like those? Wear them in white. Assholes. Like, you want to wear them in colors? Save that for the road. I don't understand this thing where we're going to make them wear the road jersey at home that Drazen and Derek Coleman and Kenny Anderson wore. And let the other team that's literally 4 miles that way wear their home whites. It doesn't make sense.
I'm with you.
That's got to be the best Marshalls purchase I've ever had. You know what the Marshalls rack is, when you see like the old jerseys that like are kind of out of style. Like, I have an authentic Drazen Petrovic jersey from Marshalls on the rack.
So obviously, a little bit of the character of Turtle, what he wore, was inspired by like the younger version of me, right? I was a jersey freak. I didn't really have the money for the sewn-in stuff. I had the press-on champion jerseys back in the day. Mm. But my mom keeps everything, and I found my like box of jerseys from when I was a kid. And it's like Reggie Lewis, Sean Kemp, White Sonics, Jason Kidd on the Mavs, just like fire.
Wow. This is a gold mine.
Fire on fire on fire. Reggie Lewis jersey has like blood stains on it from when I got elbowed in the park. Like, just I'm so happy she kept that stuff.
Yeah, what's the story there? So you're playing pickup and someone elbows you in the nose.
I got elbowed right in the mouth. Yeah. This is before I used to go Steph Curry mouth guard and had to protect my pretty teeth that, I worked hard to maintain.
This guy, Hollywood over here. Yo, no, it's crazy because I wish I was home right now so I could show you. I would literally go and I have a champion New York Knicks Chris Childs jersey.
Oh, that's right, so sweet.
Oh, it's crazy. Good. It's one of those things when I got it at the time, I was like, no one even knows who this guy is. But it's like, I know who he is, and I want to have this. And then, like, over time, I'm like, yo, this is like a collector's item. Like, it's got cult status behind it, you know, behind the Kobe 2-piece and all that stuff. And so now I'm like, it's in my closet in, like, a Hall of Fame. Along with my A-Rod Yankees jersey, I got an authentic A-Rod because I just thought I knew, this is going to be like an epic, like 5 World Series run with this guy.
I literally have in my childhood room a photograph poster of Jason Varitek giving A-Rod the business running down the first baseline. Okay.
So, all right. So what's
that's
the
who
most
you're talking to, Jerry. Yeah.
What's the most embarrassing jersey you own? Jerry first and then Tom, tell me.
Like from childhood we're talking about? That
yeah,
still,
yeah. Like you bought, you had it as a kid or as a younger person, you're like, oh, this is about to be the most fire purchase ever. And now you look back at it like, what did I do?
Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a bad one, but I definitely had a J.R. Ryder jersey.
Oh, that's a good one. Wait, which one? Good one. Minnesota?
Yeah, but what Minnesota? Dunk okay. contest, J.R.? Yeah. Had okay. a Harold Miner Baby Jordan jersey. I'm like, this one is it. When he did that like reverse pump jam, like I'm like, this is Baby Jordan right here.
You know, what's funny is a lot of people are going to be like, yo, that's so embarrassing. I'm going to tell you right now, at the time,
back in the day,
That was a hot selling jersey. That Harold Miner Miami Heat jersey, that was a hot seller. People really believed.
I rocked a Muggsy jersey because I was short as well, like a little on the nose. Funnily enough, too, that was my only sewn in one. My mom sewn.
Oh, that was
Hey!
Oh, look at that. Oh, wow.
Look, that's beautiful.
Is that a Wake Forest?
Right.
Yeah.
It was autographed, too, right?
Yeah.
That's a beauty. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know if I have any real true like the Harold Miner in the moment was a good. It was the white one too.
Oh, wow. Really? Most of them had the black one.
I had the white one. Yeah.
Wow.
It's funny. I only had like a Starks jersey. I never like. I guess that's like a childhood thing. Like I never wanted Knicks jersey. I wanted all the other players that I used to enjoy watching.
Mason, Starks, Houston.
Yeah.
Childs. Ewing, LJ, what were the other ones I had? Like, dude, I had so many Knick jerseys. It was kind of ridiculous. And yet, none of those are my most embarrassing submission.
What is it? Let's hear it.
By the way, I'll give you another one. You had J.R. Ryder Timberwolves?
Yeah.
I had J.R. Ryder Atlanta Hawks.
I was just going to say, please tell me it's the Hawks.
Also, not most embarrassing. I told you about the A-Rod. Not most embarrassing. I had a Plexico Burris Giants jersey that I bought, an authentic, the sewn-in one.
Sewn-in, big bucks right there, yeah.
Maybe 2.5 weeks before he shot himself. Not the most embarrassing jersey I own. Are you guys ready?
Oh, that wasn't it. Oh, God. You built this up. I don't even know where you're going to go. I don't know what sport you're going to go with. I don't even know where you're at.
I got... a New York. It wasn't authentic. Remember the Nike Swingman jerseys?
Yes.
They weren't like the screen printed. They were sewn in, but they weren't quite authentic. I got one of Antonio McDice. Watch this. No. Obviously, Dice didn't play almost at all for the Knicks. So then I had a friend of mine who had a guy who could like convert jerseys.
Peel a number off.
Peel a number or a name off. In this case, the
you
number
got a
was
bootleg
fine.
McDice Not, jersey for the
No. It was a McDice Suns? Jersey. No. It's like a Knicks jersey, but like you can change, you can like have the stitching taken out and have it made into something different. And so I had a McDice who wore number 34, Knicks jersey. McDice didn't play much and then got traded. And I was like, what am I going to do with this thing? And that next year, the Knicks signed and traded for Eddie Curry, who also wore 34. And so I said, that's it. Convert this McDice 34. to an Eddie Curry 34.
It's embarrassing.
Do you still have that somewhere in your home?
I still have it in my home.
You might have to frame that and put that up in the man cave or whatever. Just it's a conversation piece.
Yeah.
People see 34. Don't even put the back, put the front, because people will say, "Oh, I didn't know you liked Charles Oakley." And you're gonna go, "No, that's Antonio. Eddie Curry, formerly known as Antonio McDice." Yeah.
So along those lines, but without any embarrassment, like that one, I'm embarrassed about. Without any embarrassment, I have a Clippers 21 jersey, authentic, the champion authentic one, game worn, et cetera, 21 Clippers. Most people, when I used to wear it a lot more, I haven't worn it in quite a while, but people would say, oh, that's a dope Darius Miles jersey. I was like, no, not Darius Miles. Turn around, Malik Sealy.
Malik Sealy, yeah. Malik,
I still got it. It's one, like,
that's
I need
a great
to,
one.
Like, I need to get back in the gym is what I need to do. So I can, like,
be hey, show off the jerseys, yeah.
Jerry, I've always wondered this. Is there, like, a secret society, a text, a group chat of people getting courtside seats at Knicks games? Like, how does Jerry Ferrara, without revealing too much, how does Jerry Ferrara always score the best seat in the house? No offense, but this does seem like an amazing, amazing gift that you've received from the gods, that you can get basically any seat you want.
It's my greatest accomplishment in my career. I really do. And, you know, I have a few shows in the works, right? But I haven't been on TV in 2 years. And that's my thought is like, oh, man, they're going to take these tickets away from me if I don't get my ass back on TV. And now that they're good, you know, now that the Knicks are good.
Oh, no.
Next thing you know, man, I'm going to be bumped for the cast of, you know, Bridgerton or something. Some young, much, much better looking person is going to be in that seat. I started doing, I won't even say some work, but I did a commercial years ago for the Knicks when Nate Robinson, Derek Lee were rookies, right? Spike Lee directed the commercial. It was like a big deal. And I don't know if I like waived the fees or whatever, but I literally said to everyone at MSG, like, listen, I don't want just like, I'm not in New York that often anymore, but when I am, like, I just, if I could get those court sides maybe 4 or 5 times a year, right? Like, done, deal. And again, you heard that roster, right? So it wasn't like, it was still a hot ticket, but not really a hot ticket. And I've been to more late February Knicks, Wizards, Knicks, like, I've paid your dues, man. I went through the Chris Duhon years. Like, so I feel like I sort of earned it for that, but no, there's no secret society or anything like that. But, you know, my contacts over there, when I kind of have a game that I'd love to go to, I kindly ask, and look, I've been told no before. It's not like I could literally do it any time. Believe me, when the Lakers or the Warriors are coming to town, you know, there's a lot of other people that will definitely bump me way far back. So, and that's all good. I get it. I'm fine with it. I'll go watch Knicks Magic on a Tuesday in March because I love basketball.
I mean,
do you move back like a few rows and do you do a little scouting just to see who got those seats before you?
I do have to say, and this is not like a brag, I think I've only been moved back once, and it was on Easter so Sunday, good. And justifiably so. I forget who was. I don't have like a usual seat, but I definitely didn't deserve. Yes, it was a justifiable. We're going to drop you back a row. Definitely justifiable. It might have been like the entire New York Giants front line or something like that.
Honestly, Jerry, it is the greatest testament. I always talk about this with basketball players, NBA players. Part of why, beyond their like big and strong and athletic and supremely skilled and know how to play better than any of us, like there's a level of just delusion that you need to have in order to be able to say, 7 billion people on the planet, 450 people in this league, I'm one of them. You can't be a grounded, realistic person. And so I kind of feel like sitting courtside is the same thing. Like, you can't be a grounded, realistic person. You have to have some sort of delusion about yourself. I've sat courtside at MSG one time, and I didn't know I was going to do that. It was the picture of me with J. Cole is because I wanted to go watch the game. And he's like, come watch it with me. And I'm like, I thought we were in a suite or something. And next thing I know, like, they're leading me onto court because I got there late. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is really happening. And I swear to God, like, Cole is on my left. To my right is the comedian Jim Gaffigan. The person he brought with him was the comedian Ted Alexander, who's his opening act on the road. And then on the other side of Ted is Howard Stern. Howard Stern and his date. And then on the other side of them, on the other side of them is literally the broadcast booth. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah, like, I, uh,
how, is there any part of this, Jerry? I say this because you and I are friends. We've known each other for years now. I've never asked you this. Is there any part of you that says, like, this should not be happening to me right now as you look up and down that row? Or do you have that delusion of, like, yeah, absolutely, yes, I should be here?
No. So I've sat everywhere in MSG growing up. I've been way up high. I've been sort of down low, but not nearly like anything like I've experienced as an adult. And for more tales from the court, right? If that's what we're talking right here as a segment, I have a thing that even like now the people who work at MSG security and ushers, like I've gotten to know a lot of them over the years. They know my routine, right? I am the first motherfucker in my seat with 15 minutes to go for warmups. The clock says 15 minutes, not in the first quarter. There, it doesn't go that high. Warm-ups, okay? So MSG, they have a beautiful suite, right, where you pick up your tickets. You could have some food. Halftime, yeah. They go upstairs. People drinking. Yeah. It's like it's everything. Fun, yeah. It's a cool happening place, right? I go up there. I piss. I grab a bottle of water, and I dart back down. Those same ushers who I've seen a million times, they like literally, I go up, they're like, you're coming right back down. I'm like, yeah, stay right here. I'll be 2 seconds. Pee, wash hands, boom, I'm back down there when there's like no one on the court. I'm watching the halftime show. I'm watching them come back out because every minute courtside is like, I really feel like I'm stealing time, like I'm in an alternate universe. And I do feel like at any minute I'm going to get kicked out, meaning like, I felt like that about my whole career, that like the bouncer's eventually going to shine the flashlight on me and say, how'd you sneak in here? You got to go. So no, I appreciate it. And I'll go. Yeah. I mean, it's truly like a really cool, for someone who loves basketball and loves the Knicks. It's shocking.
Do you have a heads up of who you're going to be sitting next to before you get to the game?
No, but you definitely size up the suite when you go up to pick up your tickets. You see something.
Yeah, there's Justin Tuck and John Stewart and John McEnroe.
I did have a little incident. This is one of the last games I went to, believe it or not, because I haven't been in a while. You guys watching Succession, right? I'm a big Succession fan. I don't know if you guys watch. So
just watch this week's last.
Amin knows my pickup basketball ferocity. So I go to a Knicks game one time, and at halftime, before that, you know, you go to pick up your tickets. I'm in that suite, and I see Nicholas Braun, who plays Greg on Succession. This is like end of season one. Everybody's going crazy for him. I'm at the bar. I grab my bottle of water. I'm getting ready to head down, and he's like, "Hey, Jerry, what's going on?" I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know we met." He's like, no, we've played basketball once before.
We've played the hoops. We played hoops.
Right. And he gave me like a look, and I like shook his hand. I'm like, all right, cool. And I go back down, and I'm with my wife. I'm with Bree. And I'm like, fuck, Bree, I think I was an asshole to him back in the day. Like I'm starting to come back.
Oh, no
to
way.
Me, right? I'm starting to come back
no.
to me. Like, I remember getting into like a little dust up with a really tall dude, right? And is it him? So halftime, we go back up to that
Jerry.
Suite. And I'm like, I got to ask him. I go up to him. I say, Nicholas, can I ask you a question, please? And please feel free to be honest. I'm like, I'm starting to remember that pickup game. Was I an asshole in that game? And in his cadence that we've all grown to love, he's like, well, you one can say you were a giant asshole. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. Back in those days, I was like taking this shit for real, man. I'm so sorry. Okay, 2 weeks later, back at a game, me and my wife, and I'm trying to remember Timothy Chalamet, Oscar Award winner. Very handsome, talented young man, right? Me and my wife were there. We start hearing girls scream, women scream, and we see him walking in, and he crosses us, and he sits down next to my wife. I was like, great. And then, I swear to God, 2 weeks after the Nicholas Braun thing, he goes, hey, Jerry, what's up? I'm like, I didn't know we knew each other. Hey, man, like, congrats on everything. He's like, you don't remember me, do you? I'm like, I know who you are. He's like, no, we played hoops like 2 years ago. I'm like, was I an asshole to you? And he actually said, no, I was not an asshole. That he's like, no, you're totally cool. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Jerry.
So, anyway, some tales from the court. Right,
so you've built a rep is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ask a friend Ben Lyons. He like calls me the angriest pickup player of all time.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, well, Lyons, rant.
That's my guy, man.
I do have
rant about you're an asshole with a basketball in your hand, apparently.
Yeah, because you know what? I don't think Braun was going over the screen, to be honest. I don't think he was getting over the screens. So I think he might have even been on my team. He might have been on my team. No, he's actually a good ball player. He's a good ball player.
Okay.
So I have a Tom's trivia. You ever play with
Josh? Oh, my fault, Tom.
Yeah.
You ever play with Josh Bratton?
No, but I've heard. I've heard.
Yeah. He was in the semi-pro. He's actually like he's nice. He's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like it's hard to tell from people from like watching the movies, but people tell me he's nice, so he's another one.
Yeah.
Tom, go ahead.
I have the Tom's trivia here. We've got the Suns game, Warriors are up by 5 on my screen over here. We're gonna talk about that in a little bit, but we wanted to get you out. I know you got. It's a late night for you, so I've got this Tom's trivia. It is Knicks related. I figure at this point, we've already said one of the names, maybe a couple here on the show already. Since Entourage debuted in June of 2004, there have been 6 Knicks All-Stars. How many of those 6 can you name? Since 2004, 6 Knicks All-Stars.
Randall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to count backward. David Lee.
Yep, that was the one we talked about. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 04. Mello.
Yep. That's 3. Yeah, 3 out of the 6.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Well, okay. I'm trying to count backward. Three more. 04. Marbury?
Oh, I thought you were going to another one. No, not Marbury. Not Marbury.
I'm dead.
Mm, okay. You started saying the name when you go Mar, and I was like, oh, you got this guy. He punched the fire extinguisher in Miami.
Oh God, Omari. Oh
yeah.
Jeez, yeah. Can't believe it. Omari.
Do you want to take? Yep, Tyson Chandler, 2013. And one that you might have blocked from your memory more recently. Amin, do you know this one?
That threw me off there.
Randall was?
What?
Mello and Randall.
Tom, what are you doing here?
Oh, no. Okay, so Randall came because... Porzingis was an all-star.
Yeah, Porzingis.
Ooh. Was it an all-star with the Knicks?
Yep. 2018.
When was that? Jeez.
I just literally told you 2018.
100 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, it still doesn't ring true.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that list, Julius Randle, Chris Asps, Porzingis, Carmelo, Tyson Chandler, Amari Stoudemire, David Lee, all bigs. There's no guards that have taken over New York.
Oh, yes, yeah. No guard player. Carmelo's the closest thing.
And you seem upset, Turtle.
No, I'm just trying to think. I guess I did block out the Porzingis thing. I guess that did happen.
Yeah. Well, David Lee is the one that I thought you were not going to get. But you said
I remember that
tonight.
One. I remember that.
That was the first one.
Year.
That was the first one he got. Yeah.
I can't believe I almost forgot.
Like, the whole
for
thing was like, it took you a second. I was like, wow, this is a little slow. I was like, oh, I thought Mello would be the first name out your mouth.
No. It's late for me. I got 2 kids that are going to be up and screaming in 5 hours probably.
Yes.
Let's get them out of here. Let's get them out of here.
Fellas, yeah, this is fun. It would have been fun for a win, but either way, it's always good catching up, and it'll be interesting. I've enjoyed basketball this year a lot, so hopefully Knicks can hang tough. Man.
Yeah, I believe. I mean, big moves with Kemba. We'll see what happens there. Whether John Wall is going to be coming or what's going to happen.
Is that real? How does that work? Is that like a buyout? Man. Then he comes. How does that even work?
So in the group chat I referenced earlier, I have a friend who predicted this 3 years ago. He said, "Wait, John Wall, New York Knicks, collision course. He said this like 3 years ago. It's like after he's washed, he literally like put that in there. And that was before he got hurt and any of that stuff. Like my friend predicted that this would all happen. And it's we're, like when the news came, story came out or whatever, the rumor came out today, he quote tweeted in the chat his original message from like years ago. Like, I told you, I've been preparing for this my whole time. it's amazing. It's like that's the destiny of every
Knicks fans, man. Knicks fans. They always remember.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I would be up for it's very confusing rumor, but I don't see it. But I don't, you guys know a lot more than I do. So
one last thing before you go. KD's favorite show was Entourage. Did you ever talk to him about coming to the Knicks? Personally, did you ever talk to KD about coming to the Knicks or see him on the court and be like, hey, man, so I know you didn't come to the Knicks, but like that's cool. But why not the Knicks?
No, I have met him once or twice long, long time ago. I think still in his OKC days. I've obviously vented all that on Twitter and stuff. But like, I mean, what's he going to say to me? Oh, come to the Knicks. You're like, okay, I'm going to base a massive life decision because you try, because it would mean a lot to you. No, I mean, I would have loved to seen him in a Knicks jersey. Obviously still love watching that guy, but, I don't know. I'm not saying I root against him in a bad way. He's definitely the perfect like villain to root against, 'cause he's so good. Right. Like I said before, like when he has the ball, he's got like a pit in your stomach, 'cause it's like definitely going to score. So I enjoy rooting against him for sure, like when the Knicks play him. But I don't think I would ever say that to a player.
Yeah. Well, I know he did say that it was like the best day of his life when you announced the Entourage movie was coming out, and he like replied to you, quote tweeted.
It's like the Jerry. First reply. Yeah. I mean, I must have caught him when he was on his phone. That was like the first reply. I wish more people were excited to see the movie.
And on that note, Jerry Ferrara, from Power, from Entourage, you also have this NFT partnership that you're doing. Give the people a little bit about that before we go.
Knights of the D-Gen, a lot of sports talk, Discord's going off, some sports gambling going on. Check it out.
Awesome.
All right, guys.
All right, my man. Appreciate
great seeing you.
Thanks, later, guys. Peace out, Jerry. Oh, that's awesome, man.
It's crazy that KD didn't even have a great game and they still won that one. That's got to hurt for the Jerry Ferraras of the world.
Yeah, I mean, because Harden had a great game. And it's crazy. It's like people like, because that's what he does. By the way, shout out to in the chat. this made me laugh. Commenter B back. He said, ha ha ha. This is the Stugatz move where you just predict things and nobody remembers unless it comes true. That's absolutely accurate. That's what our group chat is. Just a bunch of Stugatzes, man.
Speaking of Stugatz, I want to recap over what went down yesterday at the game, the Heat game with Dom Kang. Like, how did things go last night for Dom Kang?
Well, first of all, sorry about that. I'm just sending a text to Jerry, thanking him for his time. The video is out right now on the YouTube channel, Levitard and Friends. So go ahead, check it out. Not right now, because we want you guys to keep these numbers high right here. But as soon as we're done over here, go ahead and check it out. It was hilarious. It was funny. It was fun. Everybody kind of played along. Everyone we encountered. We saw Izzy Gutierrez. We saw Grant Hill. We saw Uptown Dale. For our Miami people who know who that is.
Oh, yes. We saw
Dennis Scott. Yeah. So it was awesome. It was pretty fun. It was exhausting. And I won't lie. When I got there, and if anyone who listened to the show today heard me talk about, when I got to the arena, I was like, I got shook. And it wasn't because I was at the arena. It was because I got to the arena and like instantly saw about three or four people that I knew and stuff, and did the whole like, hey, shoot the shit with them. And I kind of got back into the mode of You go to games to like schmooze and all that stuff.
Mm.
And then I realize, oh man, I'm going to have to put on this outfit and these people are going to see me. And then I realize, oh man, the outfit is in a plastic bag that says I love liquor on it. Like, oh, what am I doing here? Like, I really, whoa, did we just lose Tom there? I guess we did. A solo dolo person right now. But anyways, yeah, it was just like one of those things where like, oh my God, what am I doing here? A lot of it, that kind of that silliness requires a certain level of confidence to it. And that confidence is easy when you're in a studio. It's easy when you're at home doing this via Zoom. It's not easy when like the audience are people who, believe it or not, I actually care about their respect level for me. That was.
But you're playing a character though. Like you have to get into it Andy Kaufman style the entire time.
Can't believe in and out because it was so ridiculous. I just had to be in character for the rest of the night. And so that's what I did. Once I got in there, and I did it the rest of the night. And it went well. It went great. Like I said, everyone kind of went along with it. At the same time, let me just say that. But at the point, I got tired.
Yeah, me and your internet is pretty brutal right now. It's usually me. Yeah, I was gonna say your internet's pretty brutal right now. Usually it's me, so I don't know if you got other, I don't know, apps open or whatever, but soloing it. I do believe that we got some notes here from Ryan Cortez for tonight's show, but I heard a rumor that Ryan might have pulled a Stu Gatz last night. I mean,
this is my favorite part of these lies is that Amin drops F-bombs. So fuck everybody who's like, oh, is he on AOL? I'm in a hotel with Wi-Fi. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? You want me to call the head of Marriott? Like, hello, good enough for Daniel Martinez as a standards. What do you want from me? I'm doing the best I can. I don't run the internet in this town. And I certainly don't run it in this hotel.
Well, can you tell me what happened to Ryan Cortez? You got it. You're hot right now.
You're the best at internet, Daniel Martinez. You're the fucking best when it comes to internet. Congratulations. You, Al Gore, and goddamn, I don't know, whoever runs Google Fiber. Congratulations. You got it. You win. Jesus Christ, man. You people really
can't. Is this the Danny Martinez? No, this can't be the Danny Martinez.
If it's Danny Martinez, if it's the Danny knows next time I see him. No, Daniel Martinez, he said, take a joke. Not when you keep making it 8 million times in a row. Like if you said it one time, haha, we get it. Okay, internet sucks. When you keep making the same, like that's your contribution again and again. That's, shit. Real witty. Like if you keep making the same joke over and over again, there's only one purpose. You want it to get recognized. Congratulations. Here's your recognition. You got it. Got it. You wanted a spotlight? Like there it is. It's up there. Where is it? There's the spotlight, Daniel Martinez. You got it.
We have reached the hanging spotlight lamp that is shaking in the room portion of tonight's live show.
I'm hangry. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I was just trying to get a story out of you. You told me that Ryan Cortez pulled a Stu Gatz last night at the game. You were going to go talk to Ryan, right?
Absolutely. So we knew because Ryan posted pictures. Cortez, that's what we're talking about. No, earlier, Mike said, hey, Ryan is pulling research. And I'm like, who the fuck is Ryan? I'm like, oh, Cortez, that fraud. He posts pictures on the way to the game, him and his boys. Everyone's wearing a different color Heat jersey, culture chatter. He's got those awful sunglasses on. And so Juju was like, we have to find him. Juju Gotti was like, we have to find him. We have to go hit him up in the seats. I'm like, cool, let's do it. And so we were doing stuff. We wanted to get some stuff with the Jokic brothers. And then finally, Juju was like, I see where they're sitting. I can see their jerseys. I see them. They're right there. And we're like, cool, let's go. And we go over there. And by the time we get there, they're not there. And so we hung around, a little bit, and it became apparent. And this is at this point, the Heat were getting blown out. And we said, oh shit, they dipped. They left early. This guy who's talking about culture chatter this whole time is a complete fraud. And shout out to Tony. Tony said, it ain't culture chatter, it's culture scatter, which is a great line.
Yes.
But it was like, it was literally supposed to be the end of our video, was us catching up with Cortez and just having one last like shoot the shit conversation. Yeah. And instead, he became the ultimate like personification of Heat culture, not from the organization, but from the fans, which is show up late, leave early.
Yeah, it's one of my biggest pet peeves is like being in Miami and people being like, look at all those people in the front row that are not there. Tonight in Brooklyn, same exact story, was Knicks, Brooklyn Nets, one of the biggest games of the year in Brooklyn, and half of the front row seats, the courtside seats, were empty. This is not a Miami Heat only thing. It is a stereotypical, one of these mythical things that you say about a fan base, because you don't want people to live their best life and go to the club and have an amazing club and go to South Beach and see beautiful women, beautiful men, the most beautiful people on the earth there in Miami, the craziest cars, the craziest clubs. You want them to be all about that basketball life. But the problem is, this happens everywhere. It is confirmation bias that fans will point to the Miami Heat and say, look at all these fair weather fans. They're not real fans. They're out there partying. They're out on the beach. They're out their Lambos out on South Beach. No, this happens everywhere in America where they show up late in the courtside seats, but they don't.
The difference is they don't run around talking about hashtag culture chatter. That's the difference.
Yeah. I can't defend that.
Difference. That's the difference. It's one thing to say, hey, Miami people get a bad rap for no reason. That's not different. It's another thing when one of the Miami people is walking around calling people cowards the whole time. Like, if you go talk like Cortez talks, you got to be there at the end of the game when, like, they're shooting, when they're allowing fans to shoot free throws. That's the point. That's the point.
Well, after this, after we finish up here tonight, go watch that Dom Kang video. Your wrists must be tired. I did see Poppy. There was a Poppy appearance. And he actually, you know what? He actually shook your hand.
You know, it's not because Poppy's a pro. He's a consummate pro. I walked up to him and he literally like, I was like, hey, you know, I was in character again. And I was like, oh, the Jokic, da, da, da. And Poppy immediately went through with it. He immediately went with it and like bum, 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 hit all the notes. And then like midway through, I'm like minutes in, he was like, Amin? And he had no idea who I was. He just was asked a question and said, I'm going to go with it. And so it was tremendous. It was perfect. It was Poppy at his best.
Adam Jameson in the chat says, why are his wrists tired? Did you see this the entire night?
Oh,
my forearms would be on fire. You know, yeah.
You know what's crazy, Tom? The thing that hurt the most was the smiling, because I had to have this like big smile on my face the whole time. That's what exhausted me more than the wrists. My wrists have a lot of practice, if you get my.
Mm-hmm.
On that
it is
note,
what time? 11 o'clock. Looks like it's
wrapping up. It's wrapping up o'clock. It's almost halftime. The Suns are up 3. There are about 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Well, Steph Curry just missed a layup. So, yeah. Thanks a lot, everybody, for joining us for these shenanigans. Thank you to Jerry Ferrara, right?
Oh, great guest. One of the best guys in the business. He's awesome. Appreciate you all for listening. Appreciate you guys for supporting the show. And we're going to be doing more of these. So check back next week. We'll do another post-game show. And go check out everything, all the content we're putting out here, especially go follow the Lebatard and Friends YouTube channel. Don't just watch it. Subscribe to it and subscribe to all the podcasts on the Lebatard and Friends Network. Anything else that we need to hit?
Listen to Haber Show, a unsanctioned podcast, but a podcast nonetheless.
Yeah. If we want to talk
actually listen to Cinephobe podcast.
Oh, that's another unsanctioned podcast that where we watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and, you know, try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated. Perhaps they didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe, produced by Anthony Mays, wherever you get podcasts. Any other
off the looking events? Glass, Kate Fagan and Jessica Smetana,
sure.
Their new podcast, Off the Looking Glass. I just listened to the second episode this afternoon while I was raking some leaves. Appreciate you, Kate and Jess, raking for getting me through that. Just raking it, just blowing it. Ah, oh, shit.
By the way, did you? Oh, man.
Come on. That's for you, Adam Jameson.